Today's class will be given by His Grace Shyamakrishi Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.12.14 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji,
I just wanted to say, like, Prabhuji is His Grace Shyamakrishi Prabhuji is the disciple of Him. Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and he's now initiating Guru in ISKCON, so please welcome him to the call and Bhakti Sangha conference call. And Prabhuji is giving classes regularly on Bhakti Sangha and independent. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. So we will continue as announced about this text number 14 of chapter 12, 10 to 4. Guru Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vestam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shri He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय नमो महावदानाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतुषे नमः वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णापृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरव भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. सो टेक्स्ट नंबर 14. एवं बहुसवं कालम आत्मा विचलेन्द्रियः त्रिवर्गोपैकं नीत्वा पुत्राय Putrayadan Rapasanam. The self-controlled great soul Dhruva Maharaj thus passed many, many years favorably executing three kinds of worldly activities, namely religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of all material desires. Thereafter, he handed over the charge of the royal throne to his son. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Perfection of materialistic life is suitably attained by the process of observing religious principles. This leads automatically to successful economic development, and thus there is no difficulty in satisfying all material desires. Since Dhruva Maharaj, as a king, had to keep up his status quo, or it would not have been possible to rule over the people in general, he did it perfectly. But as soon as he saw that his son was grown up and could take charge of the royal throne, he immediately handed over the charge and retired from all material engagements. One word used here is very significant, avichalendriya, which means that he was not disturbed by the agitation of the senses, nor was his sensory power diminished. Although in years he was a very old man, since he ruled over the world for 36,000 years, naturally one may conclude that he became very, very old, but factually his senses were very young, and yet he was not interested in sense gratification. In other words, he remained self-controlled. He performed his duties perfectly according to the materialistic way. That is the way of behavior for great devotees. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya, was the son of a very rich man. Although he had no interest in enjoying material happiness, when he was entrusted with doing something in managing the state, he did it perfectly. Srila Gaur Sundar advised him, from within, keep him yourself and your mind completely aloof, but externally execute the material duties just as they need to be done. This transcendental position can be achieved by devotees only, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, while others such as yogis try to control their senses by force. Devotees, even though possessing full sensory powers, do not use them because they engage in higher transcendental activities. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurangalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So, it's a very nice verse. It shows about how a devotee should behave, or what is how a devotee does all the material activities so perfectly well, but absorbed in Krishna. His mind is in Krishna. He has the power to enjoy all his senses. Like Dhru Maharaj, although ruling for 36,000 years, he did not become old. So when you control the senses, like all these Vegas, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jivha Vegam. So all these Vegas means agitations of the mind, agitation of different senses. When they are come and still you could control them, don't let it go to enjoy the senses or to bring senses in contact with the sense objects. So that is like a victory. If one can do that, then he can rule over the whole material world and he can become the guru of entire society. So that is the position of a Goswami, and although he is working outside, but still they are like a sannyasi, because they have taken that they don't enjoy their senses, they don't put their senses in the sense object, they don't contemplate, they contemplate on Krishna. They are always thinking, so their attachment is to Krishna, and by their body, they engage, body is the material, and they engage in whatever is needed, because as long as the body is there is a need to maintain it. So there would be eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all are necessary, and one can do that, provided one does not keep their mind, how I could enjoy this, how I could make a big empire, how I could enjoy in various ways, eat nice food or sleep very, very soundly, or watch all these things, videos and movies, or engage in sex life, or so many ways that one is controlled perfectly. So it gives, and we will give few examples, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, he was a very rich man, very royal man. He's sleeping on big, big white, nice bed, and two ladies were fanning him, and he will eat some betel nuts and pan, and he will spit on a spittoon, and so just like a ordinary person who is a ayasi, or who is just enjoying his senses. So he is one of the friend Mukundatta Prabhu brought Gadadhar Pandit, that now I will like to show you a very advanced devotee. So when he goes and sees this Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and he sees that he is just enjoying like anything, like a completely sense gratifier materialistic person, and so how come that he told me, my friend told me that he is a very advanced Vaishnava. So in his mind, he thought little ill about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So thinking of the mind, like so Mukundatta was singing a song, that how glorious is Krishna, that even to Putna, that he gave liberation, and how wonderful he is. And just listening this Bhagavatam verse, his Ashta Sattvik Bhav came. He was just like, he just fell down from the from his bed, and just perspiration, and he could not even speak. And so Gadadhar Pandit knew that these are the symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord, and I have made offenses. Even by thinking in the mind, even if you think ill about a advanced devotee, then the bad effect is there. So later on, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that to mitigate my offenses against this Vaishnava, I would like to take initiation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu permitted. Gadadhar Pandit is a Radha Shakti, she is incarnation of Radha Tattva. So he takes initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So such is the life, that they are not attached. Their mind is always on Krishna. Arjuna was fighting such a big war, and but his whole aim was to satisfy Krishna, his senses, not to get the kingdom, not to rule, not to become a big warrior, or not to get a fame. But his whole idea was to engage in service of the Lord, because that is the Lord wanted to establish Dhruva Maharaj as the king, and means Yudhishthira Maharaj as the king. And so one time these gopis wanted to serve Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni was on the other side of Yamuna, and Yamuna was quite much full with so much flood, and there was no boat to cross. So they asked their friend Krishna, how we could cross this Yamuna? We want to serve Durvasa Muni with lot of palatable dishes that they had prepared. There was some vrat that they wanted to feed a Vaishnava. So Krishna says that just tell Yamuna ji that Krishna sada brahmachari. And they thought that Krishna, he is surrounded by so many women. That is the meaning of a debauchee, you may say, or lampato. Lampat means one who is surrounded by many young girls. But his mind was not on them. They were his devotees, and he wanted to play with them or give them the enjoyment. The purpose of that, Krishna is not attached to anything in the material world. From the Ras dance, he disappeared with thousands of gopis. Although they were astonished that this is how come it is true, but they went to the Yamuna, they told that Krishna sada brahmachari, and Yamuna gave them the way, and they could walk and go to Durvasa Muni. They fed Durvasa Muni, and he ate so much that so many gopis, they brought so many whole like plates of prasad, maybe thousands of plates, and he ate all of them. And then now the problem was how they could come back. So they asked Durvasa Muni that we came, but we don't know how we could go back. He says, just tell them, tell the Yamuna River that Durvasa sada nirahari, that he does not eat anything. And said that we just gave so much prasadam like a bhim eats, and he also ate alone. How he could be nirahari? Means without any food, nirahari means. Because his mind wasn't not on enjoying the food. His mind was absorbed in thinking of the Supreme Lord. So anyway, it may not be the same Durvasa Muni who was a yogi. It is some different Durvasa Muni. So they told Yamuna River, and the Yamuna River gave them the way. So what it is that if one has their mind focused on Krishna and his service, then outwardly from the body they may do something according to the scriptural injunctions. Like Dhruva Maharaj enjoyed his kingdom, he had his wives. Like Arjuna also had 3-4 wives, Ulupi and Chitrangada, and from Nagakanya, and so different. And but still, it's not that he was attached to them. Maharaj Privrat, that you can see that Maharaj Privrat, he was the elder brother of Maharaj Uttanapad, Manu Maharaj's son. This is from Satyog. So Manu Maharaj has these two sons, Maharaj Privrat and Uttanapad. He said that I am not interested in the kingdom and enjoying the kingdom and ruling it over. And then Dhruva Maharaj's father Uttanapad, he became the king. But later on, when there was a need, Dhruva went back home. Uttanapad Maharaj also, he left his body, and Manu Maharaj and Brahmaji, and they came that Priyavrat, please you take over the kingdom. And he says that how come I am just like a sannyasi, I cannot just engage in this kind of activity. But they say, no, if your mind is on Krishna and what is needed, and if you are asked by superiors, you must take that position. Then he became the king and he ruled over. Not only that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother Nityananda Prabhu was an avdhut. Just we had his Nityananda Trayodashi. So he was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that people would think that devotional service is meant just for sannyasis or completely renounced from the material world. even if they have not taken the oath of sannyas. So he accepted that, and then he asked that you get married. So not only he got married to one wife, Janava Mataji, but also he got married to Vasudha. From Vasudha they had son. So he did got married, not in an enjoying mood, what they do as a service to the Supreme Lord. And like you see, Bharat Maharaj also, like at a young age, he gave up his kingdom. He gave the kingdom to his son and then came to the site where Gandaki River was there. But somehow, and he had almost like a bhav bhakti, but one can fall down if you get attachment. He got attached to a deer. Everything he was doing very, very nicely, but because he got attached to a deer and thinking of deer rather than his own sadhana or putting mind on Krishna, he was attached to deer, and that's why he had to take two more births as a deer and then as a Jad Bharat. And then he went back home, back to Godhead. So in this way, we see by the histories, like even Yudhishthir Maharaj and Maharaj Rishabhdev, and how they live at an early age. And even Dhritarashtra, when he was chastised by his brother Vidur, that how come you are eating food that is left by Bhima, who killed your 100 sons, are you not ashamed? And then also he came to his senses. But that was all at the old age. And then he left his kingdom, went towards Himalayas. And later on his wife knew, she also followed. And even Kunti Devi also followed her brother-in-law's path. Then all the Pandavas, when they knew, then Pandavas also went towards the Himalayas and they gave away their kingdom. Although at that time, their grand Arjun's son was very, very young. But still they left the kingdom. And we see everywhere that there was no attachment to the kingdom. They did as a service to the Supreme Lord. And that way they created an example. In Bhagavad Gita also, like there are certain, just in 258 verse, one who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. So, from wherever the senses are going, they bring it back. Nadi nadon se bharta hua bhi, samudra hai jo istru suprathishta, tyon kaam sare jisme samave pata vahi shanti, natu kaam kami. Just like the rivers are filled, filling the ocean, so many rivers, like I was recently in Amazon River, and so much water, and it is filling the ocean. But ocean does not come out, go beyond its boundaries. So every, like there may be the desire for sense enjoyment, but they withdraw their senses from the sense objects and continue their duties in the material world. Tyon kaam sare jisme sapata vahi shanti. So he is the one who could get peace. But one who expands his senses more and more, let me enjoy, I am here just for enjoyment. Once I am dead, what is there, what is left over? Yavat jivet, sokham jivet, rinam kratva, gratam privet. That let us eat, drink and be merry, let us eat ghee, and even if we have to beg, borrow or steal, just enjoy that. So, again, the next verse of this is Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Paramdrastva Nivartate. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense objects remain. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste is fixed in his consciousness. So if one develops their Krishna consciousness, there is definitely much more higher taste. And then he may be able to restrict his senses from the sense enjoyment. But just do it forcibly, like yogis and different people, they do by their austerities, or they lie down, their head down and legs up, and they lie on the thorns, or sometimes they put fire in the summertime around their body. This is not the way to control the senses. Saubhari Muni was underneath the water, that his mind may not get disturbed. But he saw just copulation of the fishes in the Yamuna River, and then his mind got agitated. Vishwamitra Muni, a yogi, he was in meditation for 60,000 years, and just hearing the tinkling bell of Menaka, his mind was disturbed, and then he had a union with her, and Shakuntala was born to Vishwamitra Muni. So it is only the devotional service, that if we engage our mind in service of the Lord, and Lord is the master of the senses, we use our senses in service of the master of the senses, then naturally it is Krishna will help, and he will give us the knowledge from within that we could come to him. So it is not possible by personal own endeavor, but we must be begging from Krishna to raise our mind, or not to get engaged in. Same teachings were done by Maharaj Rahugan. Maharaj Rahugan was taught by Jad Bharat that you think that you are a king today. I was a king before. So we have to go on the level of the soul, because whole this material atmosphere is not really not us. We think that this whole material thing, it is like a phantasmagoria. So the senses are very strong and impetuous. O Arjun, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. And that's why one who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. So person, tasya pragya pratisthita. Pragya means the intelligence is properly situated. Means it's not that we go to demigods and think that we could control our mind. None of the demigods, including Lord Shiva, wherever you go, we have to take shelter only of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And that way, by his help, we could control senses, and we could win, and we could also become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So this purport is giving the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. So little bit his life and how he worked, like, although he was so much detached from very beginning of his life, from very childhood, he heard from Haridas Thakur and about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his mind was attached to Krishna. When he was a liberated soul, Rasa Manjari or Rati Manjari in his Raj Leela, and his two brothers, very, very rich like a king's, Hiranya Majumdar and Gordhan Majumdar. So Gordhan Majumdar was younger, and he was the son of Gordhan Majumdar. And so much that, means they were so much aristocratic, and so many people were dependent on them, and they all were like them. And so Gordhan Putra is Raghunath, Sei Gordhan, there is a detailed description in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Gordhaner Putra Raghunath Das Balyakala Hete Tiho Vishay Udas. He was not attached to Vishay. So he was hearing from Balram Acharya, his Siksha Guru, and Haridas Thakur, who was purifying their home. He used to come there and discuss Krishna Katha, and many, many students and travelers and sadhus and jnanis and brahmanas and poor men, and they were all kind of students, and they will help all of them, and there was always some Gaur Katha, but whatever the effect it had on, so he was hearing Raghunath Das Goswami about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas and at a young age, and by hearing this he became practically unconscious. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was planning to go after sannyas to, he came to Shantipur, and somehow he stopped eating and sleeping, and so when his parents, they thought that if he will die like this, so let us send him. So with so many gifts and so many brahmanas and so many servants, that they went and they took him to Shantipur. And when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many people were coming and seeing him, and he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, touched with his lotus feet on his head, and he embraced him, and he washed his feet with so much tears coming from his eyes. Means he was the only recipient of such a big, practically kingdom, with 200,000 gold coins they were getting every year as a collector of the taxes. And so, so he stayed there for 7 days, and then he was brought back again and again. He would not stop his tearing and telling that, please give me my life, it is in your hand, otherwise. So so they thought that if we get him, that getting him married, maybe it will establish him, like it he'll be attracted to her. And so they got a very beautiful beautiful young girl, and they got him married, but his mind was never there. And so he could not be tied with this who was just like an apsara, but he could not be tied. Agya dehi yai dekhi prabhur charan. Now Sachinandan, he went to, after 2 years he was in South India and traveled to all the worlds, and then again he came to Shantipur, and again he requested that, please send me to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Agya dehi yai dekhi prabhur charan anyatha na rahe mor sharir jivan. I would not be alive. So so somehow they again sent him, telling many times that you are the only for our life, that our life is just bound to you, and you are our star of our eyes. And if you like just Chatak is only looks towards the clouds, and only he drinks the water from the clouds when there is a rain, but otherwise he remains thirsty. So we are just like that, without seeing we will die. Chatak and Chakor also, Manasa Chandra Chakora. Chakor bird only just becomes very happy by seeing the moon. If there is no moon, then he is very morose. So the same thing, that without seeing you, we cannot live. So he goes there, and so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they stayed again for a few days, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful. He is asking that hey Patit Pavan Gaur Sundar, hey Karunamaya, and that please do not separate me, please keep me at your lotus feet, and don't let me go home, you do something. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that, Raghunath, you became stable, go to your home, do not become a madman. And this Bhavsagar, you cannot, it takes certain time, and it is proper time, that so you cannot just jump over just like just running, and you cannot just jump over like this. Just show outside, don't do a Markat Vairagya, that sometime there is a Vairagya. Markat means monkeys, sometime like look like Vairagis, and when there are so many she monkeys, they jump again, or so that is Markat. And there is also Samashyan Vairagya, that one may be detached when they go see somebody's death, and they are getting like a funeral, or they are being burned, then they become detached. But again, when they come home, they forget everything like this. So that kind of temporary showy thing is not really helpful. So he says that, yeah, and without attachment, you enjoy whatever is needed and show them, and then you manage your father's affairs. So he comes home, and then what happens, that the Muslim king, they want to imprison him because somebody complained that they are misappropriating the funds that they are collecting, and they are not showing everything. So their wazir, minister, he goes there, and then so these people, they heard, so they are hiding, but Raghunath Das Goswami was there, a little beautiful young child. So they take him and into their prison. But then he calls and talks to the king in a very, very sweet voice, that my parents and you are like brothers, I am just like your son, and so there may be sometime misunderstanding, I will clear out everything. So he manages affairs so nicely, or talks in such a way, so that they released their parents, and they got their whatever money they were thinking that was misappropriated, he gives them back. And so he manages things nicely. Even he was not interested anything in this material affairs. So sometime, just to show an example to the public, these things are done by even a Mahabhagavat, that they could manage, they could do things and properly, although it may seem that he is like a Vishayi, like we talked about Pundrik Vidyanidhi, that he is, but it was not like that. So afterwards, when Nityananda Prabhu comes nearby, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him that you go and get married, so he says that you are a thief, you are stealing my property. So property of Nityananda Prabhu is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went twice to Shantipur to meet Sri Chaitanya Prabhu without the permission of Nityananda Prabhu. So without Nityananda, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling him that you are just jumping. You are not going kramashah or step by step. So first one has to take the shelter of Nityananda Prabhu or a Guru Tattva. Without this, the system has been created by Krishna, that first you approach to a Guru, take permission from him, serve him, and when he is happy, he will bless you to take the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna is guided by Bhakti Lata Beach. So in this way, there is a whole story about this Raghunath Das Goswami, that how he got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was completely detached, but he, at least for 2-3 years, he managed and maintained his father's all these opulences, and he did very, very nicely. And now this purport in this also talks about that there are four goals: dharma, artha, kam, and moksha, religiosity. And so that significant word, that word avichanchalendriya, avichanchalan means that they are not disturbed by the agitation of the mind or agitation of the senses. Senses should be controlled by mind, mind should be controlled by intelligence, and intelligence is also controlled by the self, because the self is much higher than the intelligence or mind or the senses. Or from the sense objects, the mind is more important, or mind is superior, or senses are superior than the sense objects. So there is a hierarchy. So if we surrender to Krishna or understand about Krishna, then automatically it works that it will control intelligence to mind, and to senses could be controlled. But if you go directly to control, it is not possible. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drastvani vartate. When you get a higher test of Krishna consciousness, automatically the lower senses are controlled. So senses are very, very powerful, and they are our enemies. And one has to control them from very childhood. Vedic system is like, it talks about that you go for brahmacharya ashram before the household, so you could control your senses even in the household ashram, and then you move to vanprasthar sannyas. Although in Kali Yuga, sannyas is prohibited, but that is the system. So there has to be certain training, and that's why Krishna has divided the society into world and ashram. That ashram is brahmacharya, grihastha, vanprastha, and sannyas, that should be taken. And then according to their propensity, one can be brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, what they want to do, according to their propensity, not by guna karma vibhava, chatur varnam. So that world, so whole material disease is that it is because of the sense gratification. Liberation from the disease condition, a re-engagement of the senses, that is the so we could understand about the beauty of the Lord and hear His glories, and we act on His account because we are His children, we are His parts and parcel, and parts of duty is to serve the whole, that is Krishna. So there are four goals have been described in this, that is called Purusharth, are the human goals of life. Purush means what is our earth, what is our... So people, they talk about this four earth, although there are four things that one want to obtain, that is the religiosity, religion, that is dharma, economic development, that is earth, kaam is sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. You may say, what is the, yes, kaam is also necessary, just like, but it should be according to the dharma. So dharma should be the first, that kaamosmi bharsa, that Krishna also says that, if it is according to the regulative principles, I am the kaam. So to produce Krishna conscious children, sex could be used. So that is So one has to follow the dharmic principles according. Then it is one is, it is as much like he is even grasthi brahmachari. He is even living in a grast, but he is still a brahmachari if he use it properly. So secret of happiness has been given even in household life is to balance and regulate the pursuit of these four goals. Without discipline, without proper understanding of the four principles of life, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, nobody can become happy. So material nature consists of three modes, and according to the means of goodness, passion, ignorance. And gradually we have to rise above this ignorance to passion, passion to goodness, and then to Shuddha Sattva. So this dharma principles that elevate our modes from, if you are in the mode of goodness, then there is happiness and there is knowledge, and then one can, it's like a spring board that you could jump to Shuddha Sattva, completely pure goodness. Goodness in the material world is always tainted with passion and ignorance. So one has to rise even above the mode of goodness. Unrestricted economic development is driven by mode of passion, and the mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. And so Krishna is just saying all this in Bhagavad Gita, Three Modes of Material Nature, Chapter 14. It talks about all of this. And ignorance is born of darkness and delusion, and that keeps us into the, not only but to go down into lower planetary system. So householders can elevate from the modes of ignorance and passion to mode of goodness, and they become happy and peaceful by regulating their economic development and calm, sense gratification, according to, everything has to be done according to the religious principles. And dharmam to sakshat bhagavat pranitam, religious principles means that they are the codes written by the Supreme Lord himself. How to use that particular tool. Now you have human body, use it in this way. Just like with a machine, there is certain booklet, and you use the this machine according to the instruction given in the booklet, not whimsically. Then things would work out properly. So we should be away. So dharma, religious principles, has to be cultivated. Grastha ashram is a family life that is focused not just on earth and calm. That is what is happening mostly here. You earn and enjoy as much as possible to your senses, but it is not focused on earth and calm, but on dharma, artha, kama and moksha. That dharma has to be there in every step in your family life. To progress the path of liberation from this material attachment, this is necessary. So liberation, that what we talk, the fourth goal, liberation is attained by transcending the three modes of material nature and coming to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Then you will understand that when you are in pure goodness, then you will understand that even whole this material arrangement is not really necessary for the soul. Soul is completely aloof from all of this. So one would pay his attention. When we transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age and disease. That unnecessarily we are in this material world is just a shadow and just a phantasmagoria. It is not a real. Why I should be indulging, even if it is a little bit according to the dharma also. So we don't have to remain that, I am doing nice, I am a dharmic, I follow all the principle. But ultimately one has to become free from this material world. We are not part of this material world. This is a prison house. So in the next verse, these things are given. Manyaman idam vishvam maya rachitam atmanim avidya rachita swapna gandharva nagaropamam. Translation and purport of this 15th verse. Srila Dhruva Maharaj realized that this cosmic manifestation bewilders living entities like a dream or phantasmagoria, because it is a creation of the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord. Purport. In the deep forest, it sometimes appears that there are big palaces and nice cities. That is technically called Gandharva Nagar. Gandharva Nagar or Akash Pushpa. Means there is no flower in the sky, but one can imagine In my childhood, I used to see the clouds and make many, many pictures. Oh, here is Krishna, here is Putna, here is this tree. So we may imagine, so in the material world, we may imagine so much happiness. Just like in the dream, sometimes we become very happy, we go on dreaming, but it's ultimately false. So in the awake state also, whatever we are making has nothing to do with the soul. It is just a kind of dream. So it is a day dream and night dream. And so that's why all the big, our parampara, this is jiva jago gaura chan bole. We are sleeping in the lap of maya, you wake up a sleeping soul. So just in the mode of goodness or living very nicely or according to dharma is not really the real principles or even getting liberation. The main thing is fifth purusharth, pancham purusharth is Krishna prem. So we are really meant for Krishna prem, to love Krishna, to serve Him, to please Him. And automatically being His parts, we become happy and pleased. So here, in the purport, Gandharva Nagar means just false imagination. Similarly, in dream also, we create many false things out of imagination. A self-realized person or a devotee knows well that this material cosmic manifestation is a temporary, illusory representation. Illusory means, illusion means when you see a tree and think it is a ghost. When you see a rope, there is a snake. Although it is just an illusion of our mind. A tree is a tree, a snake is a snake, rope is a rope. So they are all separate. Means it is there, but it's falsely identifying. We think that this material world for me is very nice, so let me just enjoy to my fullest extent and forgetting our real goal, real aim. So we have to understand our real aim or goal, what we are meant for. So it is like a phantasmagoria. So phantasmagoria is like a phantom limb. I talked before, like when somebody has amputation of the, say, the leg below the knee. Then because it's, that sense this organ is gone, but the sense perception is there. Those are intact. So because the perception is there, he may think and he may make in his mind that there is a limb, it is working, it is twitching. He may think that I am just growing. A woman who thinks of the pregnancy may think, although she is not pregnant, but may think that it's spurious pregnancy, false pregnancy. Oh, I have, my stomach is growing, my breasts are growing, there is a child is moving inside. May feel so many things. Or we may have outer body experience also because of the mind constantly thinking about that. And we may be rise above and may think in that way. So it is, so phantom limb and phantasmagoria means false thinking or false knowledge or false identification, although it is not there, but we think it is there. And so in a forest also, deep well, and in the, it's a blind well, that there is a death is down, there is a death is up, and our days and night are being cut by this, the rates, day and night, are cutting our lifetime, and any time we may just go away. So there is no definite period, but we are attached, even in spite of knowing all these things, we are attached to this little sense gratification that we feel, little happy, but really this happiness, what we feel in the material world, is that we work so hard, so there is a little lesser work or lesser pain or lesser suffering, we think it is happiness. Real happiness never ends. This happiness of the material world, it looks sweet, but at the end it is very, very bitter, very painful. But real Krishna conscious happiness, which is really happiness of the soul, is in the beginning it may be bitter, but ultimately it would be sweet forever. Any endeavor on this path is also very, very beautiful, or because it never finishes. Anything material is gone, is doomed. There is nothing further. So it is just like a shadow. We may enjoy the mangoes in the sight of the river. If there is a mango tree, we think that there is a mangoes in the river. And you jump and look and you cannot find it. So that happiness that we are trying to find in the material world is not there. It is whole, full of misery. But somehow we don't realize. Just I gave you a story before that a man very, very hungry was went to Jagannath Puri, and then he His stomach was so much empty, gurgling and painful, but he tried to press his stomach against a pillar, then his pain subsided. And even people were telling that you eat, but he said that if I leave that pillar, that little happiness, I will again get the same pain. So same thing that we are taking hold of this material world, that there is some happiness just by pushing against the pillar to the stomach. So he thought that there is some happiness, and who has seen that there is happiness in the spiritual kingdom? There is some happiness here, let me not leave it. So because our habit is from billions of years, so many lifetimes that we are in this habit, getting little pleasure in the material world, chapala sukha lava lagire. So for this flickering happiness, we think that that is all in all. And we forget that happiness that is forever, ever increasing, anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam, we forget about that Krishna is awaiting to give us his whole spiritual world, material world, whatever you want, whatever position, whatever prestige, whatever, it is all there, but in Krishna consciousness. But we forget about that. So, but behind the shadow creation, there is a reality, the spiritual sky. So wherever there is a shadow, there is a reality. Like sun may be reflected in thousands of ponds, but it all depends on that original sun. So whatever happiness that you see, it is originally in a real form, it is in the spiritual kingdom. So if you go there, then you could enjoy everything. A devotee is interested in the spiritual world, not in shadow. Since he has realization of the supreme truth, a devotee is not interested in this temporary shadow of truth. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Param drashtva nivartate. We read those words. Rasavarjam rasopyasya. Param drashtva nivartate. The second chapter. And I will read just one more verse and I will finish, because it is continuation of the same thing. I will just read the translation purport. Thus Dhruva Maharaj at the end left his kingdom, which extended all over the earth and was bounded by great oceans. He considered his body, his wives, his children, his friends and army, his rich treasury, his very comfortable palace and his many enjoyable pleasure grounds to be creation of the illusory energy. One may say it is there, how it is illusory? Illusory means it is just temporary, you cannot enjoy it and you have to leave behind and go. So it is practically illusory. Thus in the due course, and it cannot give us real pleasure. So it is just a thinking a rope to be a snake. It is illusory in that sense. Thus, in due course of time, he retired to the forest in the Himalayas, known as Badrikashram. In the beginning of life, when he went to the forest in search of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj realized that all bodily conceptions of pleasure are products of illusory energy. That is Maya. Illusory energy is Maya. In the very beginning, of course, he was after the kingdom of his father, and in order to get, he went to search for the Supreme Lord. But he later realized that everything is the creation of the illusory energy. It is a allurement by the Maya. Okay, come, enjoy. There is a great enjoyment is awaiting. So she is testing that whether we are fixed in Krishna consciousness or not, and that's why that illusory energy is behind us. So from the acts of Srila Dhruva Maharaj, we can understand that somehow or other, if one becomes Krishna conscious, it does not matter what his motivation is in the beginning. He will eventually realize his real truth by the grace of the Lord. That real truth is that this is all temporary, there is suffering, let me take the lotus feet of the Lord and let me go back home, back to Godhead, where I can be very happy in the lap of my real father. So our objective is to love Krishna, get our attachment to Krishna, and by unattached way, if we have this body, we could engage in, we could have this eating, sleeping, mating, depending, which are all needed, but according to the religious principles. So Dhruva Maharaj was interested in kingdom of his father, but later he became a great devotee, Mahabhagwat, and had no interest in material enjoyment. The perfection of life can be achieved only by devotees, nobody else. It's not by karma kand, jnana kand, means by none of the processes. This upasana means worshipping the Lord. Upasana. Up means near, and asana means to sit. Sit near, upasana. And this kamna or kamna, kam, kam means all the desires, and that desire should be Krishna conscious desire. Otherwise, kamna means a lusty desire. Kam and lust, if we please Krishna senses, atmendriya priti vancha tare, tare bale or tare nam, kam or krishnendriya priti vancha. If we desire that Krishna should be happy, then that is prem. In material world, it's all lust. Everything is based on enjoying the senses. It is not on Krishna prem, and Krishna prem is no thought of their own happiness in any way or shape. If gopis would feel happier, even if tears would come, then they will feel why the tears are coming. They will even reject their tears, that why I should be happy, let Krishna be happy. So this all stages of law of Krishna and their devotees is given stage by stage in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and other literature. So even if one completes only even a percentage, a minute percentage, but it never goes away and then falls down from his immature position, he is better than a person who is fully engaged in fruity activities of this mortal world. However he may be rich and filthy rich and have many objects, but a little tiny devotee is far better because he is properly situated. He does not run on this on his mind, he runs on the devotional principles. So we should take to the devotional principles according to the scriptural injunction, develop our attachment and love to Krishna, serve and maintain the body as it is required or it is in our destiny, according to the destiny we obtain. Everything, even if you have done some pious activity, you will become rich or have beautiful body or enjoy. So, but use whatever surplus is there, use in service of Krishna. In building temples, like printing books, distribution, prasad distribution, it is a great significance. So Prabhupada taught all these principles very clearly by his personal example that he created all this, and by coming in contact with this movement, we can practically do all these things without any difficulty. So thank you so much. If there is any comments or discussions or any further talks on these topics of Dhruva Maharaj, how he lived 36,000 years that he ruled but was unattached, and different examples of Raghunath Das Goswami, that how he managed to keep his parents happy, and then later on he ran away to Jagannath Puri and got shelter of, it is the topmost renunciation that he has showed, which we cannot enjoy. He would not eat, Raghunath Das Goswami, even the food that was, he was begged and people would give him, that he is like a king's son. So then he was eating just the rice from that even the cows would not eat. That on the nala, that was just gone. So he will pick up and then wash it and eat that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day came, that you are eating such a nectar, give me. So he sneezed little rice, which was thrown, which was not even they were rotten. But somehow he said that nectar what is there is not there in the opulent food that I eat in Dwarka or in Jagannath Puri as Lord Jagannath. Just like Krishna relished the banana peels at Vidurani's house, or just like Krishna in Dwarka ate those chipped rice by Sudama. So any offering should be with love for Krishna. Then he will take anything, he will eat anything. He accepts that love rather than the what you offer. Main important thing that you love Krishna and do everything according to please Krishna. Like there was a man, nutty means they do just some dance and just please by their facial expressions, and then people were worshipping, so he thought that he could worship, but he has nothing to offer. So he just made some dance for the Lord, showed some tricks. And so when Padri saw this priest, they saw that what this man is doing, just to please, so he got him out, he put him in the prison. So the Lord came in the dream, that he is my dearest devotee. Why did you put there? I was very happy by all the gestures to please me. So somehow we should be able to please the Lord. And it does not matter how rich, how poor, what you are, it is not by the opulence, but it is for the heart should be filled with love for the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, can you unmute now?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all blessed to Srila Prabhupada, all blessed to Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, wonderful explanation, so nice to hear all these examples. I had a query, Prabhupada, here. Like when we read the first canto, in which after Arjuna comes from Dwarka and he comes to know that Lord Krishna has already left the planet, after that immediately Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the brothers also leave. So over here I get confused that what was their reason to leave, because Lord Krishna had had them the kingdom so that they can rule in peace and they can have the dharma established. Then what was the reason that Yudhishthir Maharaj leaves the, like he takes
kingdom?
Yeah, I did not understand that part.
Yeah, he did not really leave immediately. He ruled for some time until Parikshit Maharaj became young, or when he heard that his... So, not that he left to go to Himalayas and went to do some tapasya. So, it's not that right away he left. That they are giving the letter. He did leave afterwards, after just few years, when Parikshit Maharaj was able to rule over. Until he lived there, he established Dharma Rajya. He established at that time that everybody was religious, everybody was following the codes of Dharma. And so when that happened, there was no reason for him to continue. His reason was to not to enjoy as a king, because most of the people, they take the political position just to enjoy, take amass as much money as possible by taking the bribes and so many things, but Yudhishthir Maharaj was not one of them. He ruled properly, he established, just like Dhruva Maharaj established, or Rishabh established his kingdom, and then he gave this Dhruva Maharaj that we are reading. Although he, it was Satyu, he ruled for 36,000 years, and then he gave it to his son, and let him just do it. So Yudhishthir Maharaj also ruled for some time. I think, I do not exactly know how many, 30 years or 25 years, but he ruled just like Bharat Maharaj. He gave to his son, but he was still young, and he left and he was ruling over whole plan, Bharat Varsh. But Bharat Varsh was practically whole, this planet, Earth planet, was whole Bharat Varsh at that time. But then he gave up at earlier age. His father also did, Rishabh Dev, also did the same thing. When he saw that he has 100 children and Bharat Maharaj is suitable to take the kingdom, then he left. So that is the way that one does not get attached, because the result comes by the attachment. Even in the material world, if we are not attached to do something, means not by a cold-blooded way, but it is, if you do it in... because sense is going and you enjoy, but it is, the result is not, you don't get the result unless you do it deliberately. So our mind should be on Krishna, and then one can do activity what is needed in the material world to run according to the dharmic principles. So what you are asking, as far as I know, that they did not go or left right away, but Yudhishthira Maharaj did rule to hear about what Krishna wanted him to do. So he did that. Just like Arjun did that. He wanted to become a sannyasi, but then Krishna taught him that no, your duty is to, who am I? You have to listen to, by always remembering him, remembering me, you fight. So he did fight. So maybe you could look at again later on, or even in Mahabharata it would be given. See, Bhagavatam is a little summary about that part of Mahabharata. It does not give the detail like Lord Ram. So it's only in two chapters. But in Valmiki Ramayana, it is so many verses. Same thing that they did rule and then later on they left.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I'll surely look into the Mahabharata or listen to some classes about it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you could. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, anyone else? We read three verses, 14, 15 and 16. Should we end now, if there is no further discussion, questions, doubts on something?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances.
Please accept my
Prabhu, thank you so much Prabhu for a nice class. I had one question, even though you explained it, in the text 14, and the text verse itself, says that Dhuma has passed his time in Dharma Ardha Kama. So, but we also understood from the purport and your class that obviously he is not satisfying, he is not engaged in sense gratification or agitated by senses like that. But we also see that he is. The material desires he was satisfying. So, how do we take it? We normally is it regulated enjoyment according to dharma, like you are describing? That's what is meant by this, sir.
Yeah. That's what dharma. According to the, it should not be against the religious principle, and those are necessary. One cannot just say that he has to eat, and if he is eating opulent food, but it is prasad offered to the Supreme Lord for his enjoyment and you eat it. So it's not that, oh, why I should just mix everything or not taste or. No, you should relish that. Same thing, whatever it is, eating or sleeping, you sleep nicely, but thinking of Krishna from Arjun's point, like when he was sleeping, one time all this, like even Krishna and Draupadi, and they were all around. They would not wake him up, but from his hair pores, just Krishna, Krishna, the name was coming out. Everybody could hear it. So you could just imagine what is the status of his, although he was sleeping, but he was always thinking of Krishna. Those words were coming out loudly. So whether it is eating or sleeping or even mating, if you have a child, Krishna conscious child, there is a need for progeny to go on and more devotees. So you will be bringing more devotees in that way. So if it is not against the dharmic principle to beget children, then one can have a sex life. It is nothing against the principle. You could still, you are a devotee. And so it has to be all regulated. And even defending if it is necessary, then you should defend also. Arjun fought for defense against the Duryodhan and other thing. So that also is needed, and one can. So Dhruva Maharaj was, he fought even with Yakshas, who killed his brother. And even as a king, he has to punish somebody also. So why is in this? No, it is his duty. As a duty, has to be done. But on behalf of Krishna, not thinking that I am the king, I am the enjoyer, let me enjoy, let me increase my opulence. They do it according to the dharmic principle.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah, do you
one more question?
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, Prabhu. Continue.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, one more question is, remember while we were reading the purport and you were describing about Raghunath Das Goswami and Lord Chaitanya's instructions to him, which was internally keep the Krishna consciousness, but externally do the material duties nicely, like that. So,
right.
Obviously I'm still maturing in Krishna consciousness in the early stages. So, for me, it's hard to not show up when, let us say, for example, I have good sadhana and I'm trying to do, trying to focus on devotional life, focus on how to improve my Krishna consciousness like that. Then it naturally shows up that I'm having less interest in other things. So my material duties are not done perfectly. So I don't know, you have any suggestions, Prabhu, for practicing this principle properly?
As a service to Krishna, you think as that you are doing this, just like I could give you my example. I was a medical doctor practicing. Devotees were coming. I was taking, seeing them. And also by your work, you could create an example for others that how doing work so nicely, you could also be a devotee at the same time. It means that work become also a worship place. Work also becomes like a devotional service. It's not susukham kartum avayam. Even if you are doing in the material world, but it is not that material world is completely bad. It is also kingdom of God. So we should keep it as a kingdom of God, not being attached or thinking that it is for me to gratify, but it is for Krishna. This wife belongs to Krishna, child belongs to Krishna, my all opulence belongs to Krishna. And you can enjoy in that. Not that enjoying spirit is bad, enjoying in Krishna consciousness, that I am taking care for Krishna for all this. Not that Prabhupada would be morose, he was one time the richest man, but he will never glorify himself that he has achieved all this. It is all my Guru Maharaj mercy he has given, it is Krishna's mercy he never took credit for, but he was engaged in all this, hardly sleeping 2 hours. So it's not that, and he will relish his food, his massage, everything. He will have a big thal and whatever he would eat, he will eat that. He wanted kachoris, he will ask that, prepare kachoris for me, prepare puris for me. So it's not that why he's asking or eat anything and feel that everything material is bad. Material is also spiritual if you use it in Krishna service or in that mood. Not in a mood that I am the enjoyer, I have created all this. Then that is, we get entangled. So don't feel that there is anything material if you use it for Krishna. Maya means which is you separated from Krishna. But if you engage, that it is Krishna's and you could enjoy everything. It is so beautiful because even a reflection of the spiritual world, but there is some reality and reflection is also of the spiritual world. Think it is a so material world is a spiritual world if you use it for Krishna. If you use the books and printing press for Krishna, how it could be material? If you are using your mouth and preparing nice food stuff for Krishna and offering him and relishing that prasad, how it could be material? So you are earning your children, your home, beautiful palatial home. Yudhishthira Maharaj had such palatial home or even Duryodhan thought it is water but it is earth, and when he thought it is earth it was water. So he made such a buildings or nice place. There is nothing wrong with that, but propensity should be that it is all belongs to Krishna. I am his devotee and it is all for his pleasure. Just like a big father's property his son can enjoy without feeling restriction. Why not? And Krishna is waiting in the spiritual kingdom for much more opulence for us to enjoy. So you may think there also that it is why I am enjoying. No, enjoying is that is nature's, the soul's demand that we become happy, but happy in Krishna consciousness, not by ahankar, not by pride, not thinking it is all mine for me, desire. But if Krishna is giving, you take it. Prabhupada said once a story that one old lady wanted her big bundle of sticks to be, it fell down and she could not put it back. So he asks, Krishna, please help me. So he comes and asks that, put that back again on my head. She could have asked for any opulence. Why she had to work hard to again collect the sticks and lifelong suffer? It's in the beginning this detachment, but detachment it is has no place. Renunciation, vairagya, jnana and vairagya is not part of bhakti. This dry speculative knowledge and renouncing. What we have to renounce, what is ours to renounce. And father's property, who would enjoy? His children would enjoy. So you think it is father's property, it is his thinking, claiming to be your ownership and enjoy. That's all right. Enjoying propensity, enjoy means I'm not saying that you just become overwhelmed that, oh, I'm so nice, I'm enjoying. But one can, if Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's disappearance day, he said that you could use cars, you could cross over the ocean, you could use shoes, nice clothing, and he was using all that. People were laughing, you are a sannyasi, how come you are wearing all this achkan, or jaise ki prime minister lambe lambe coat pehnte hain, he used to wear it and go and Rolls Royce. He is a representative of Krishna, why not?
Yeah, makes sense, sir. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very wonderful class, Prabhuji.
Thank you for giving me the chance to speak on this nice birthday.
Oh, Prabhuji, we are so fortunate to have you on the call.
It's my good fortune also to be with such wonderful devotees.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Guruji. I had one more thing.
Okay.
I don't know how to put it up, but like in this material world, like we have that example of Prabhupada giving the story, right? That of the woman who had a bunch of log of woods on her head and it falls down, and then she calls for Krishna to pick it up and keep it back on her head. So in this material world, like I think, like at least for me, like it is always the same condition, because there is some problem and we ask for help. There is something and we again ask for help in this material context. So that that idea, or that though we hear, we know, it does not get applied. Like, okay, like these are just material things and they can let go, and these problems are just temporary and you can let go and you can ask for the higher taste. So that, how to increase that ruchi and how to increase that taste, that okay, like if this is there, still it is, we can think for something more than what the problems are. I don't know if I could put up my question rightly.
No, I get a little, what you are saying. So what I could say, that this lady got it, but her consciousness, once I have it, I will be able to sail and enjoy, I or me. But if you have things like when you have, there are difficulty, but you are going to Krishna, kamova, sarva kamova, moksha kamodardi. You ask, but you did not leave Krishna consciousness. She just asked, got the job done and left, and is still continuing the same. But if your life is not materialistic, you still remember Krishna, you still think of him, you still think to purify you, or to your existence, or to remind you of Krishna every step and using those principles in your practice, in your life, then it is Krishna consciousness. It is a slow process, it is a gradual process. And so your thinking and this example that Prabhupada is giving is forgetting Krishna immediately afterwards. Once you are comfortable, dukh mein sumiran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. Jo sukh mein sumiran kare, dukh kaayo ko hoi. So if you are just remembering him, even in a good time or bad time, not just asking for bad time, please come and help, and then forgetting, then it is Krishna consciousness. You are aiding up your Krishna consciousness in every life, or you could make it perfect in this life. Then that is the best. But if you cannot, still it is glorious that you are catching hold of Krishna in every step. That's why that verse before we get initiation, akama va sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajet purusha param, you are worshipping Krishna, whether you are full of desire, like Dhruv Maharaj. He was full of desire to have not only his father, but not only his grandfather, but great-grandfather, like Brahmas. His great-grandfather was Brahma, and he wanted more opulent than Brahma. So it was above the Brahma Lok, Dhruv Lok, and he ruled over. So asking him, but he was always remembering Krishna. Even if he had a kingdom, he would fight, he had two wives, he had children, but he was not entangled. The thing is, from the mind, in the mind you put Krishna. Then by the body you could do the work, and you could enjoy your senses externally, but internally you enjoy with Krishna. Just like gopis would do everything. Chula jalana, ghar leepna, gaya, bachchon ki care, husband ki care, family ki care, they were engaged, but what was in their mind? Body material hai, material cheezo mein laga do. Jo hamara jo atma hai, usko bhagwan mein lagao. Jo bhagwan ka ansh hai. So that's all right. So you are asking this example of this lady that she forgot about Krishna. But you are continuing to remember Krishna, thinking how I could improve my service, then that is two different examples.
Thank you so much, Babaji, for such a wonderful explanation. Thank you so much.
Okay,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी दंडवत प्रणाम शिल प्रभुपाद की जय गुरु महाराज की जय वेरी वेरी ब्यूटीफुल क्लास प्रभु थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी फॉर द ब्यूटीफुल क्लास हरे कृष्णा
बिकॉज यू आर लिसनिंग वेरी अटेंटिवली एंड यू हैव इंटरेस्ट इन दोस टॉपिक्स मेनी पीपल दे हैव नो इंटरेस्ट व्हाटसोएवर टू हियर दे वांट टू हियर ग्राम में चर्चा पॉलिटिक्स वेदर प्राइम मिनिस्टर विल कम बैक अगेन और So those are material, but if you are keeping Krishna in the center, then everything is auspicious.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, is anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for Prabhuji, I would like to offer my obeisances to Prabhuji and all other Vaishnavas. वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिंधुभ्यैवच प्रसीदानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंतकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकी जय आचार्य शीला हरिदास ठाकुर की जय शिल प्रभुपाद की जय हिज ग्रेस हेमकृषि प्रभु जी की जय थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी हरे कृष्ण
थैंक्स एवरीवन थैंक यू हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू प्रभु जी